Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And you know we had to do it to him. You know we had to get GT in the building. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. How you feeling, man?
Excellent. I'm glad to have you in here, man. It's like, I feel like I've been kind of documenting the explosion of Detroit pretty diligently for the last couple of years. Had a lot of real bangers in there.
Remember I told you? Remember?
You told me a long time ago, like, are we going to get one in one day?
Remember?
Was it when you came in?
Like, you was like, you had tagged me. He was like, you know, a lot of rappers told me something, but GT really meant that. And you told me, and remember you hit me?
Okay. Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah.
I could tell that you meant it. Right.
Yeah, I meant that. And we sit here right now, it's a blessing, though.
No, but I'm going to be real with you. It's like, I feel like you're kind of in like a way different place career wise right now than you were a couple years ago.
I was.
Feels like you kind of came a long way and you've really developed your own style. And are bringing something unique to the table, and the fans are actually reciprocating, and they're actually really with it.
And let me know that you're really doing your homework out here. And let me know that you're really in tune with the culture, because
I gotta get in soon.
I definitely created a new whole wave.
Mm-hmm.
Since back then, I was real throwed off, like one foot in the streets, one foot out.
Okay.
So when I used to be you saying that, like I know you had a lot of business going on and trying to get to the highest potential it could possibly be. Like right now is like the perfect time for this though. Like it's legendary right now.
Definitely. So let's go back to the early days of exactly where you are coming from.
Mm-hmm. 7 Mile Road, man.
Okay.
Eastside. I'm really originally from the Red Zone though. Like if you ever hear Sada Baby and I'm saying the Red Zone,
mm-hmm.
That's where I originally grew up at. Then got, you know, getting kicked out of schools as a kid and had to move with grandma and And I moved over to another hood, which is called the Green Zone.
Wait, so your parents sent you to live with your grandparents?
Just my mama, yeah. Well, I was bad as hell, man.
Dad wasn't.
I got kicked out first day of school.
Dad wasn't around too much, or
he was in he had passed away when I was in the 8th grade.
Oh shit! Okay, I'm sorry. Hear
yeah,
that.
No, rest his soul. He was good dude, all around good person, dog.
Right.
Took care of the whole hood. You know how that go, man.
But you were getting exposed, or you were getting in trouble from an early age.
Yeah, he was locked up. He did his jail time and shit, you know, like the stuff like that. Just being raised in the streets and just being raised around older really ain't had no vision of how they thought being a hood star was the best shit you can be.
The best thing that you could possibly do was just to be kind of like famous on your block.
Exactly.
But then you grew up and you got the internet and you realized like, oh, there's a big world out there.
It was before the internet. Like, see, I was the type of, you know, Adam, like when when I got a chance to go work a real job, like, I you know how you go to the suburbs?
Yeah, I was raised in them.
And you go to, you know, like, you know when you go to, like, these high fashion stores and high stores, and then they get looked at like they thieves or they might steal. So I went to apply there and work there so people would know my face and know my people face and just got a job in the suburbs and worked there and got cultured that way. You know, like, just I had to get that balance. So I always had seen a different vision just from being in the hood. Like I was wearing like Rick Owens and Rav Simmons and people thought it was weird. And
what year are we talking?
2015, 2014, 2013. Like when I just was old enough to be like, this is what I want to do. Like find something to do. Worked at a store called Revive. It was a real big popular store in Michigan. Real big.
And this is like a fashion thing?
Yeah, it's all fashion. Yep. And they got, like, the biggest stars come there to shop when they get to Michigan and shit like that.
Right. So that was, like, your first calling was the fashion shit? Or you were just sort of involved in the scene because of that? Or how'd this work?
I won best dress in school and shit like that. I'd always been a fresh fly. I'm the type of guy had Versace shirts on in first grade pictures and shit like that. My daddy was, like, the boss man.
Really?
I was wearing Iceberg and shit.
Versace in first grade.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
like that Versace, real Versace shirts though. Like.
Especially like in Detroit, I feel like if you were to see that in Hollywood or Beverly Hills, it wouldn't maybe strike you as that crazy. But out there, that must really stand out.
I mean, in Detroit back then in the 90s, it seemed like every black family was kind of like having, you know, like doing their thing. Like it didn't get bad to the early 2000s.
So your memories of Detroit are before the whole economy really hit the bed.
Yeah, bro, it was like, bro, it was so fun to go outside, like,
right,
like to just ride up a block and see everybody at every house just doing family shit. Like you don't even see that no more. Like,
yeah, because they say that like Detroit has the lowest population density of anywhere in the country. So basically, like it's a big fucking huge city that got built when the economy was doing great, and then so many people left that. And I believe that that's kind of part of why the crime is so bad, is because people are so spread out. It takes cops forever to get anywhere. There's not that many cops, etc.
I think the crime is so bad is because they put all that damn money out there and then they snatched it away, man.
Oh, the EDD.
Because everything, the murders was down, the crime was down when the PPP was out. Motherfuckers was, the killers was chilling with the other killers. The ops, you know, niggas was doing their thing.
Yeah.
With the ops. There wasn't even no real beef going on when everybody had some money. As soon as the money disappeared, this shit just got real, real hectic. I think that go for anywhere right now.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people that tell you that about LA as well.
LA, bro, I ain't gonna lie. LA was a cool ass place to come for like out of town people, I guess. Not no more.
You don't feel like it feels like that anymore?
Hell no. This shit feel like Detroit.
Nah, but you could do your thing. You just probably shouldn't have too much jewelry on.
That's Detroit. Once you gotta start motherfucking watching your back like you do at home, shit, you might as well stay at home.
Right.
That's how I look at this shit, man. Like, yeah. Shit, man, this place used to be a good-ass vibe. Like, you could go stand outside the W and chill and shit.
Yeah. I mean, those memories of the fact that when we moved to Melrose and we're out there, like, every day, just standing out there on the block, nobody was even thinking about having a gun in the store. We didn't have security. We were just chilling. And then when I think about it now, that feels like, obviously my position has changed a lot, but that just feels like a huge risk.
It was, bro. Yeah. We were just playing ourselves like real liabilities, bro. Like the way I ain't gonna lie, you impressed the fuck out of me, bro. Like I'm a nigga who's played the background when you interviewed Band Gang and shit when they first came
all the way
on.
Back then. Shit, I knew you were there. Yeah,
with Drake on Beano and them. I'm sitting in the background. I'm watching this shit. I watched it was just a. No Indian, we ain't had to sign no fucking thing. We ain't had to take no picture of our face. We ain't had to do shit. It was just like every man, but and it was 50 of us in your shit.
Oh, it was crazy. You remember? I remember. Yeah. The Drake on Beano interview was amazing.
Shit was crazy, bro. We had so many people in there.
It was almost like impossible to imagine that many blunts being smoked in such a small room.
Oh my God, dog! You couldn't even. I swear, dog.
I probably just a real damage to my health. Just by not having proper ventilation. Because you can smoke a lot. You just need the air to be clear.
Man, you got this shit going on, though, Adam, bro. Like, that's some real motivating shit to see, dog, coming from another entrepreneur and shit.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Real.
Okay. But so you're sort of involved in the fashion scene or, like, doing your thing, working for stores and stuff. So how do you get closer to the music side of things? Or where does your life go from there?
Man, I was doing music since I was, 11 years old, 10 years old. These, older dudes that was cool with my mom and shit. They had a studio in the basement across the street from the house and shit. And there was this dude named Chris T. He was like Lil Bow Wow or something, Lil Romeo of our neighborhood. Like he had all the motherfucking fans, dog. And
right.
He would perform at all the backyard parties and be the kid everybody wanted to go see at the parties and shit. And he got in a real bad car accident, dog.
Oh, wow.
Like where he fucked his vocal box up. Like it was something to where it was like,
wow,
it was bad, bro. Like I don't think he do music to this day. Like I still don't think he do no music.
Damn.
And he used to just help me and shit with them, and we used to just be down in the basement fucking around with my cousin. Vincent, really the one who really helped me put it in perspective. He had the MPC and all the little shit, and he helped me. He told me to go home one day. And I still tell rappers this shit all the time. Like, kid rappers, they ask me how they can be a rapper and shit. He told me to go home and make a list of everything that I mess with, like, in life. Like, a list of the cars, a list of my peers, a list of the clothes and jewelry and whatever the fuck I like to wear. and then bring him back to paper, and then he started making sentences out of the shit. Like, I might have put a Corvette on there, or I might have, and my first rap was like, see, I'm 11, but I spit like I'm 17. You never seen heat until my CD hit the scene. Like, shit like that. Like, he was just helping me put it, and I won a school talent show and shit.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Had to clean up the lyrics and everything, I'm sure.
Yeah, when we was kids, yeah, I ain't cussing. I had this shit all figured out. He had it all right for me. He had me winning little talent shows and shit.
Right, because I remember, like, having school talent shows, and there would always be one kid who rapped, and it was never really, like, the cool kid in school. It always because it wasn't exactly, like, a cool thing to be try to be a rapper when I was in school, just because there was, like, no possibility of it happening. But I just remember, like, a couple different times, like, some kid from the basketball team would get up there and rap, and he would have to censor it all, make it super corny, and I'd just be sitting there like, what the fuck?
Hey, look, Adam, true story. We did a talent show, dog, and I think we was in, like, the fucking seventh grade. We got it. My man's got suspended. He made a girl kiss the ring at the end of his rap.
You got in trouble for that?
They said you do it as a pimp shit.
Wow.
Said he made a girl kiss. Where he learned that shit from?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, though, man.
Damn. Yeah. My other memory of a school talent show is that they said, does anybody want to drink this gallon of eggnog? And they said, we'll give you like $20 if you drink this eggnog. That's and I went white, I went up there and did it.
You went to an all-white school, didn't you, back then?
Mostly white.
Shit, never. Hey, we ain't even had none of that shit in school.
I feel it. Wait, what's your ethnic breakdown?
My daddy, black, and my mom is, she mixed, like.
Okay.
But she's a Jew, though.
Okay. So you
I'm Jewish.
So, you relate to the Jewish people?
I just don't, like, study the, you know, nothing about it.
Right.
Just, I chose a birthday over a bar mitzvah, dog. Mm. Like an asshole, dog. My mama said, you want a birthday party or a bar mitzvah? Me, I didn't want to wear a yarmulke. So when I was like, damn, none of my friends in school wear a yarmulke. They going to talk about me when I get to school. Fuck that. Having a birthday party. But I didn't even know that they would have funded my college, all type of shit. Like, they would have gave me money for school, you know?
Yeah.
To take care of real business, but...
That's what I was thinking. I would look at the Jewish kids when I was growing up and be like, damn, I wish I was Jewish, at least so I could have one of these sick-ass parties that they're having. Because I'd be hearing about the gifts they'd be getting.
I never got a chance to hear about it, though, Adam, because I was in the hood, though. You got to think, my daddy was a nigga. You know, my daddy was a nigga from the hood.
Yeah,
and
I assume.
He just took my mom and... It was just straight to the hood, and her Jewish side of the family, they always would invite us to shit, and we'd go over there, and it would just feel so uncomfortable, bro, because they were so on another level from what I had to go back to, you know, back when I lived.
Yeah, definitely. But I remember, like, a kid in high school, I forget what the dollar amount might have been, he might have said, like, $5 or $10,000 that he got from his bar mitzvah. I'm in high school.
That's a lot of money.
I remember... Getting paid like $500 in my first job for a week of work when I was like 16, not my first job, but my first like well-paying job, and being like, I've never had $500 before. And these kids are 16 getting $5,000 from their bar mitzvah. I couldn't believe it.
That's a lot of money, man. They getting way more nowadays, man. They getting shit.
Yeah. Okay, wait, so where were we?
I'm black.
Right, right. There you go. Jewish. But where were we before that?
Nowhere. You asked me my ethnicity.
Okay. Well, so you were working at the store and stuff, and then you were making music at the same time.
You know, I always made music. Me, Babyface Ray, Bezo, Peasy, we always been making music since we was kids. Bro.
And so you knew them since, like, what age?
I knew Ray since seventh grade.
Wow.
Seventh grade, going into eighth grade. We was in the same band together and shit back in middle school.
Like the school band?
Yeah, the school band and shit. And, like, Bezo, he was a nigga who was already, like, excelling as a rapper when we was kids. He had his own videos on green screens and shit like that. Like, he had a manager. He had songs. He was the first person to put me on the CD when I was a kid. And I took it to Ray. Like, Ray, look, Bezo put me on this shit.
But right.
Ray helped me motherfucking write the verse.
That's crazy. Like, just in retrospect... You're able to look at that and be like, damn, that's a fuckload of, like, successful rappers who are all in the same place at the same time, and there would have been no real reason to know that any of them were going to go anywhere in particular, right?
Somebody just asked me that shit the other day, like, did y'all think that y'all was going to be where y'all at right now when y'all was doing this shit every single day? I don't even think it was because we had any, like, vision of that. I think it was for the love. Like, I think it was just because we love to do music, and it kept us out of harm's way. Like, we all link up at the studio, and it'd just be like...
But there's a lot of people who love making music. Mm-hmm. It's like there has to have been some degree of like competition between each other, or
of
like,
course,
or just observing each other's skill sets and getting better.
We all from different neighborhoods.
Yeah,
we all from different hoods, so we all bring that shit to the table. Like we all, even when we came to the studio, all our entourages will be different niggas from different hoods. So it'd be like once we all click up, it's like damn, who can show what you was doing over here in your hood? What you was doing over here, Peasy? Or what you was doing, Babyface Ray, over here? GT, this how you coming over here? Because we all literally, like Ray and Bezo, they from the same neighborhood.
Mm.
Peasy, Snoop, they come from each other. Me, I got 7 Mile on the east side. Then you got Perry, D-Nice. You know, like, this shit was big, bro. It was like just a whole bunch of hungry. We still is to this day, though. Like, we still keep in touch with each other every day. Not every single day, but you know what I mean. Like, it's all love to the maximum.
There's got to be some epic Detroit group chats.
Yeah, we don't really be, not me and my niggas. Like,
no?
I don't know, like, group chat shit messy as hell.
You're not in, like, a group chat with, like Yachty and Veza, like, every person who's, like, Detroit adjacent. There's got to be, like, a super group chat.
For sure. For sure, it got to be.
Fuck, I need in there.
For sure, me too. I need to, they need to add me back in.
They took you out?
I be out of the loop, bro.
Oh.
I'm out of the loop.
Wait, are you saying the group chats get messy, though? That's just like an assumption of yours?
Just like, I just think, oh, that shit is messy. It don't even stay in the group.
Mm.
It don't ever be the people that's in the group that know. Somebody always outside the group know what's going on in the group chat.
Oh, yeah. One of our homies, a girl, went and read the group chat one time.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That shit messy right there. Then she like.
But that had me thinking differently about every single thing I said in there for like a week or two. I don't cheat on my girl, so I really got nothing to hide. But it definitely made me think about everything from like the perspective of a woman.
Man, dog. Speaking of that cheating shit, dog. That's something I had to motherfucking learn, dog. That shit literally gets you nowhere, dog.
That's true.
Shit gets you nowhere.
Why, you've had some bad experiences with your own cheating?
Yeah, I just pulled myself out the doghouse right now. I'm in the best shape I can be right now. I'm just building my shit back up, my foundation, man.
Yeah.
Because chasing these girls out here, these girls don't want shit, bro, but your money.
That's how you feel?
That's how they come.
But you got a good one that you realize how valuable she is now?
Can't take it for granted, bro.
Mm.
Telling you.
Yeah, any great relationship, I think there needs to be some cheating at the beginning so the guy can kind of get his head screwed on straight.
I be seeing you, though.
She needs to almost leave for you to realize how much you need her.
That's what happened.
And if you're okay with letting her go, you can just let her go. But if you really want her back, that might be the time when you decide, like, all right, I'm going to try to get my shit together.
But who really okay with that, though, Adam? Like, you build this all this time and you invest all this, you know, this time and this game and all this shit you done taught and she done taught you. Why you want to see her go do that shit with somebody else? Be for real. If you know that's the right person.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that.
Yeah. Once you really start thinking about it. Well, but
niggas
when I was younger.
Niggas be acting hard, but they really stomach be in they like nuts. Like when they girl on a date with another nigga, dog, they be sick. Like, nigga be sick, like about to call his mama. Like, what do I do? Like,
yeah.
Because I done been sick.
Damn, so she got that far away that you...
No. But you know how...
She didn't go on any dates?
You know how I go.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't even imagine. That would have been tough to take.
I be seeing you do your thing, though.
Yeah, but just on camera.
You a porn star, ain't you?
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you don't rap just walking down the street.
Like,
you rap in the studio to make shit that you want to make money off, right? I'm not
you a
fucking
hard nigga though. I ain't gonna You a hard nigga though. I ain't gonna lie though. I
appreciate that.
You a hard nigga to just go that.
So who blew up first though out of that whole little crew? Like who really started seeing success? Well, you said Icewear was kind of doing well early on.
Peasy and Peasy always been a star though. Like
right.
He always been a hit making motherfucker. He always had a song on the radio. Like I could say, like, as far as, like, nationally and globally, Babyface Raiders is, like, the last one who really did it the exact way it's supposed to be done. In my eyes, like, he did it the right way.
Right. Definitely. And when do you feel like the new, like, Detroit wave kind of took over? Because I realize that you've really kind of, like, separated yourself from it musically to a certain extent. But there's definitely a style that came in. And I'm not sure exactly how you would identify when it kind of began, but
like the real the young OG song, but they from Flint though, so they brought their own package with them. Like,
right,
it was like Rio was grinding every day. Can't take nothing from him and Mike. They grind hard for this shit. Like, nobody can ever take their sound from them. They ain't copy off nobody.
Mm-hmm.
YNJ, none of them. That's they shit. Like, that's they own niche. Like, everybody who come from Flint, they got that pattern, that pocket and shit.
Right.
Detroit, it's not that. It's the payroll, hell of a, it's like that. It's that gritty sound that you hear like that.
Right.
Meg Thee Stallion shit that you hear.
But don't you feel like the Flint sound at a certain point almost kind of infected Detroit as well? And like, hell at least had a big influence?
Fuck yeah. All the new rappers and shit coming out with this style. Like, that's they style. People like that shit. A lot of people love that shit. You got real industry people taking that style and pausing and playing with the shit.
Man. All the time.
No, they took over and did a lot of damage in the rap game, bro.
Flint. Right. Damn, that is crazy when you think about the fact that we haven't heard new Rio music in a couple years now.
He just dropped some shit.
Oh, he dropped a project from shit before?
He recorded a lot of music and shot a lot of videos before he went to jail. So he been slowly been releasing shit on his IG and shit.
I gotta tap into that.
Yeah, that shit updated. You need to go check it out.
Right, yeah. It's just crazy to think about like how much we were listening to him for so long there. And then I've been kind of tapped out since. But, yeah, I should definitely get on those new releases.
I think his numbers is, like, probably the best they ever been right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible if that's true.
I swear. I think his numbers like, the best they ever been.
Wow. That's amazing. So, I mean, like, you're talking about coming through with Drago and Bino and stuff. What, like, how did you end up coming out there with them? And, like, is that, like, a special type of thing where you guys just decide, like, oh, fuck, all 40 of us are about to head out to L.A. and go just... make some
back
moves.
Then I was with Pootie, like Pootie every day. I was with Pootie Band Life, Band Gang CEO. And I was just thugging shit just with my people, you know, just regular shit. But just be, you know, I'm just like a OG kind of.
But you were
OG, man.
You must have had a certain level of motivation to get on a plane and actually come out to LA just to, you know, meet people and just be with your boys out here and stuff. Were you already like foreseeing your rap shit taking off?
Around then, I was about to like try to take it as serious as I could take it. Right. And I had gave up. I used to give up all the time. Like, that's one thing I had to stop doing, dog. Like, making excuses and giving up when I'm getting almost to the mark, and then it feel like I'm getting uncomfortable or I ain't doing enough, and I just stop and try to switch it up. But I feel like if you fight through that uncomfortable and that, you know, that hardship time where you feel like you're under a dark cloud, then you know the sun gonna come after the rain.
There's just, like, so many rappers who kind of, like, we're so used to seeing rappers kind of have to blow up within, like, the first 6 months or year that they're, like, well-known at all. And it's interesting seeing Detroit where you have all these guys who've really managed to, like, grind and grind to build a fan base and are now kind of seeing the real results of it.
It's just longevity. That was the main goal anyway, like, longevity. And just really being in this shit. Like, we watch Currency and, you know, a lot of niggas like Currency and Larry June and how they just create a brand around the music. It's just more than music. Your fans, they can get into the cars and they can get into the love of the clothes you rock and all that shit. Like, and that's what every single person, like Icewear, he bring with all the jewelry and shit. He make you feel like number one dope boy. Right. You got Ray, feel like the coolest nigga in the world. You know, everybody bring their own shit to the table. So when you building a following like that, you just gotta, like, I guess, like, keep being real and keep being you.
Who would you say were your biggest musical influences, though, whether it's Detroit-based or even before that or outside?
Blaze Icewood was my first music influence. Like, he was the best. Like, you know, they be like, you popping your shit. Like, he was the best person I ever seen pop his shit, like, get his flex on. And then, like, dudes from Detroit, like Street Lord Wine and shit like that. Like, just watching Jay-Z take, you know, parts of Big's Burke life and, you know, Emory, and put it all in one pot and Ty and all them, and just, and know how to just paint a picture of what's really going on that he see every day. You just take that and then use it as motivation and put it into your game. But like Lil Wayne and shit like that, how he was ahead of his time, how he dropped all that Lollipop shit and shit like that. Like, I feel like if he would have dropped that shit 3-4 years ago, it would have been the best shit in the world people ever heard. But since it was so new to the ear, they downplayed it. Like, at the time, like, just be ahead of the curve.
Right.
My only motivation, for real.
You know, there's like a thing I've noticed before, which is that I very rarely hear rappers talk about rapping. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I don't know if maybe it, like, seems uncool, or maybe I just don't get to hear these conversations because I don't rap. So it's like,
come on, like how sports niggas be talking about sports all the time.
Do they? Well, no, because, like, but, like, the actual game, you know, like I feel like no matter how much I hang out with a bunch of NBA players, I'm not going to hear them talking about, like, the different styles of dribbling that much. Like, that takes place on the court, right? But do you feel like you guys actually, like, all these dudes you came up around, do you actually have, like, real in-depth conversations about the art of rapping? Or is this just shit that happens when you're in the studio and it doesn't really get discussed?
That's it. It don't never get discussed. That's a good ass thing that you just said. Like, I never heard nobody break down the logic of this shit.
Interviewed a lot of rappers. I had to get creative.
Asking me hard ass shit too.
But you guys don't. It's not like a verbal thing.
No, it ain't though. We just literally, like you said, it's just a friendly competition, dog. You go in there and I guess you could say you're trying to outdo the next. If you on a song with somebody, you definitely trying to outdo them. I don't give a fuck who you on a song with.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to do your best.
Right.
That's just how it go.
When did you start to feel like you were having success of your own?
To be honest, like in the last probably like 3 years. Like when I just consistently dropped a project every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Every 90 days I was dropping a project. And it just built a, like you said, just built my own following. Like, I ain't need to be with nobody. I ain't need to be with none of my brothers. I ain't need to have no features, nothing. I just could drop my music. I successfully do numbers. And then I just seen it just growing, like you said. Then I created a brand called Money Counter Music. And, you know, that's just like some old wavy shit. Some old, and that's it.
Money Counter, one of the best ad libs to insert into your songs.
For real.
Yeah.
I use that motherfucker all the time.
Do you really? You get paid in cash that often?
I get paid a lot. That's how I even came up with the motherfucking label, man. I always would count my money in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my safe little spot. I'd dump all my money out my pockets on the table and put the money counter on it.
I have a money counter. I think I used it once.
Getting too much money, your shit don't even need to be counted. It's getting counted.
You gotta weigh it.
Shit coming by the bank. That shit already tell you what it is. 2,000, 10,000, two.
No, but it's a fucking pain in the ass because you feed the stack of bills into it.
Get caught up in there.
It gets caught up and it tells you the number of bills, but it's not gonna tell you what the bills are, which is what I thought that this was gonna actually do.
You gotta get that other money counter, the bank one.
Oh, so the bank one will sort.
The bank will sort that bitch out for fives, tens, hundreds. And tell you exactly what you got.
It doesn't give you problems with the wrinkly ass ones.
Yeah.
If you have like
they all gonna give you the problem.
A one that's torn in half might not work.
Oh, bitch ain't work.
Interesting. So Money Counting Music, you just came up with this as your like label name? Like what are you planning on doing under that name?
I own that. I'm just planning on like right now I got a couple artists I'm fucking with, like Brill. He out of Oakland. He based out of the Bay Area. Like Jay Luciano, Jay Rucci. I got a whole bunch of people in Detroit that's really taking music serious though. Like, but Money Counter Music, I got Money Counter Motors. Like, I got a whole bunch of old school cars worth a lot of money and shit. And I'm just building all this shit up, merch, you know, everything.
Like, I feel like I first heard you rapping on other rappers' songs. I first heard you like having a verse here and there, and you're, you know. When you're getting a verse on somebody else's song, you could have a different flow, but it's going to be in the same like family of flows if you're rapping on the same beat, right? Mm-hmm. And then I listen to like your solo projects, and I'm like, oh shit, he like raps completely different, and it has mad different styles, and you're really a lot more like hip hop than a lot of the, you know, hip hop, traditional hip hop in a sense, like compared to a lot of these other dudes from Detroit. So is that like early on, was that something you're cognizant of? Like, oh, I'm kind of having to like hop on these beats and do my own thing.
It's like that Motown shit. It just come from like having chapters of the, like my CDs, if you go, like I hope one day when I get to the level where I get big enough to people like my music enough to go back to my old shit and see how I really started, like they gonna hear a real story from start to finish, like to where I'm at now. Like everything I rapped about back then, I manifested it now and shit like that. Like any type of goals I wanted to attain and do whatever that I had to do in life, I rapped about that shit.
Mm.
And then it started with Relentless. And I was like sworn in, like money kind of music.
Right. So, yeah, when you think about what like really caused your music to start to gain a fan base, though, was it those features, or was it just the fact that you kept putting projects together and like then the feature energy sort of fed over?
I ain't never had no big features, like as far as me doing features.
But some of the Drago Beto shit that you bet on, it was like kind of big, right?
I mean, like. For the yeah, I guess.
Right.
At that moment. But it really did more for them.
Okay. Like,
at that time, because I ain't had no projects.
Okay, you hadn't really officially released shit at that time?
Then I start taking off. Like, I started taking off a couple years after that. Then I just start taking off, locked in with myself.
Right. Do you have people, like, wishing that you would rap more like the average Detroit rapper? Or are they fully embracing the direction that you've been going in?
Right now, they, like, just happy as fuck that I'm doing music on a consistent basis. Like, they just happy of that alone, because I used to stop for, like, 6 months, then drop. But now I've been feeding my, you know, supporters and shit.
But 6 months is a pretty normal time to not put out a project, right? How often have you been dropping?
I wouldn't even put a project out for years. Like, yeah. I didn't even have a project out. My first project took me so many years to drop. I used to say GT coming soon.
Mm.
On the internet all the time, to the point where motherfuckers would be like, bro, I ain't waiting no more.
Right.
Like, I'm like, all right. But it was the best shit, though, back then.
What GT come from?
That's my real name.
Oh, okay.
First and last name.
Just regular name.
Yeah.
You ever ride a GT when you were a kid?
In a Mustang?
The bikes.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
I had a Schwinn, too.
Mm. GT was the shit when I was a kid.
Yeah.
GT was everything.
I ain't gonna lie. I want a GT right now, the bike, just to put on the wall.
The chain with that logo.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
That'd be hard.
I got the Georgia Tech.
The whole GT Performer bike on there?
Yeah.
That's viral.
You ain't lying, though.
Georgia Tech, too. Okay, there you go.
Got that Georgia Tech with the B on there.
Right. Are there any other good GT, well, the car thing you said, right?
Yeah, I don't fuck with no Mustang, GT. I don't fuck with no Mustangs at all.
Right.
You'll be in a tree.
Why, they just tend to crash or what?
I don't give a fuck how good of a driver you think you is. You sliding in that Mustang, you gonna hit some shit.
Right.
It just ain't, I don't know what it is about Mustangs. They weak as hell, man.
Hmm. So have you've kept your nose clean legally for the most part throughout your life?
Hell no, I used to be bad as hell at them, bro.
Really?
I caught so many damn cases, man. When I was a kid, like growing up, just bullshit gun cases and shit like that. I ain't had to do no long time in jail. Probably the longest time I did in jail was like a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Still must have been pretty depressing. Did that give you any time to think about what you're trying to do with your life?
Yeah. I think I really changed. Like, in 2015, I had gotten this accident. I was leaving the club. I hit a car going 85 miles per hour face to face. My foot got caught on the pedal. I was asleep.
Oof.
I hit a car face to face. I broke 22 ribs, bro. Both of my lungs collapsed.
22 ribs? Is that like all your ribs?
We only got 24. The only two I didn't break was the two that's flowing. I guess we got some flowing ribs, and them the only two that didn't break. The other 22 I broke, all connected to my body.
How long were you in the hospital?
Man. For a long-ass time, bro. I lost my spleen.
Oof.
All type of shit. I had both of my lungs collapse. I had a trach in my throat, bro. I was fucked up, bro.
Is your voice different now as a result of that?
Man. Yeah.
Really?
Like, my old music don't sound nothing like my new music.
Made it a little bit more like a croak?
Kind of, yeah.
Mm.
But it don't never crack or nothing like that. Like,
how come you fell asleep?
I was high.
Mm.
Just going overboard. Like, just getting too damn high. Like, don't be doing that shit, man. Call a Uber or a Lyft, man.
High, like, so I'm guessing beyond weed.
Yeah. Mm. Lean. It was really the Xanax back then.
Oof.
2015, them bitches fucked me up. Yeah. I hope ain't nobody out here doing no Xanax, man.
Yeah. 2015, I was consuming a lot of those.
Yeah, I was fucked up around that time.
Yeah, it's crazy how many rappers have, like, a video clip out there, like, an interview clip of them talking about, like, something insane that happened to them off Xans.
Oh, my God.
Like, this, I've just heard some insane horror stories on here, you know?
It was bad, bro. I'm just thank God that we made it out of that stage to where we, like, damn, that shit is passing.
Yeah.
But I almost died for that shit, though, for real, though. Like, I had 3 blood transfusions, all type of shit. Like,
wow.
Shit ain't no game, like.
So when you got out, though, how long did it take before you started to really feel like yourself? Like, did it take a long-ass time?
Yeah. Took, like, a year to recover. I was on a bed rest for, like, probably, like, six months straight.
What the fuck?
When I got out of the hospital, I had to still lay in a bed for 6 months straight. Like,
and you had a girl at the time who held you down during this, or who was taking care of you?
At that time, I had my motherfucking son on the way.
Mm.
But I wasn't with my baby mama and nothing. I just had my son on the way. She was pregnant with my son. So that kind of was like, damn, I was like, when I got in the accident, I was thinking like, you know, I got this kid on. I was just fucked up, bro. When I woke up, I tried to talk and I couldn't say shit, though. Like, I was like, I couldn't even believe that shit. Writing on a paper for like a year and a half. Can't talk, drinking shit coming out your neck.
Oof.
I had a big ass hole in my neck.
Were you just cursing the Xans this whole time?
The Xans is nothing to play with, bro. Them bitches will black you out, dog. Like, yeah. Cause I drive home, I drink some lean, smoke some weed, drive home.
We've all done it.
We done did it. But them Xanax, man, yeah, them bitches
different animal.
Take you to I went home, bro. I left the club, dropped my homeboy off. Went to my grandma's crib, put on a whole brand new outfit, and that's the only thing that they told me that. And I woke up, my clothes was cut up to me. I woke up with like, bro, look at this shit.
Oh, fuck, you got one.
Yeah, 28 staples up my shit.
What year was this?
2015.
Right. Damn. No, yeah, I mean, I have some nights in my life that I'm still trying to figure out what happened. When I think about it, I'm like, little pieces just keep coming back to you of like, oh, I was there. I went to this fucking studio, or I went to this
man,
club. I did
be
something.
Telling you shit.
Yeah.
Like what? I did that. Like, I'd be like, but, and then they see what you're doing right now, and then they be like, man, I'm so glad you made it out of that, dog. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that shit was bad, dog.
The worst feeling is reading through your text trying to figure out what you did last night.
What about losing your whole motherfucking phone, your everything, your whole motherfucking.
Your car?
Everything. No, I ain't
you ever
never
done that?
Did that.
Dude, where's my car?
I ain't never leave that car.
Hmm.
But I done fell asleep in that car off them bars, man, in front of some shit in the like in the line at the at the fast food line. It stopped the whole line, man.
Right. I used to live in this area where I had a terrible time parking in Koreatown. And I drove home off the Xans. I parked my car. But I would have to park my car hella far, like almost a mile away from my crib. I know it's like almost impossible to imagine, right? And so I wake up and I have to like ride my bike around my fucking neighborhood, like encircling every single street, pressing the fucking button on the key, just praying that I'm gonna ride by my car. And I don't remember where exactly I found it. I'm sure I found it eventually, but it's just like, and you have that feeling of that Xan hangover. Where you're kind of pissed off.
Man, that shit is a fucking demon, man.
Yeah.
That shit costs too cheap not to be a demon, man. That shit is the cheap.
Because lean has this natural regulation on it. Because it's like, if you want to do it, it's so expensive that unless you're like super successful, you just are not going to be able to consume that much of it.
Exactly. You're right. You hit it right on the nose.
So did you end up leaving most of that shit behind, or you just get more responsible with it?
I don't be drinking lean. None of that shit. I don't fuck with no bar. I ain't never touched a Xanax since the day I got in the motherfucking accident. Like, that was the last time, dog. That shit fucked me up. I ain't gonna lie. When I woke up and I seen all the motherfucking staples up my stomach, I couldn't even believe that shit, dog. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. That must have been tough.
I had chest tubes coming out of everywhere. My mouth, all that shit.
Damn. So, okay. Now that you're in this place, like, what do you really feel like is the thing that you need to do to take your career to the next level, or to just, you know, become the vision that you have in your head?
I think I gotta, it's time to, like, when it comes to the visuals and shit, it's time to, like, shoot the best visuals I can shoot. There's no more time for that, like, just standing out, running and gunning shit like that. Like, even if I'm not putting a whole bunch of thought into it, I'm still putting the effort into it. Like, niggas just be getting comfortable with just throwing shit out there and, yeah, that shit okay. But I'm trying to take this shit to the next level, like, be a real superstar. I don't know, like, maybe I might come out with all leather on, with the stars up the side, man. Let my hair out, take the braids out, and put the white Kurt Cobain shades on.
Right.
And just turn to an alter ego, man, not even.
Go full rock star on him.
I swear, man, full rock star.
I can see it. It might work.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
Ain't no Mike, we going to do this shit. Ain't no Mike, we going to do it. I'm going to tell you when we going to do it.
Yeah.
You going to be on here interviewing my alter ego.
This other GT, version of yourself.
James Cobain, man.
Right. I could see it.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Makes sense to me. All right. What else do we need to know about what you got going on? You got any hobbies or anything that we need to know about outside of rapping?
I got a kids community center I'm opening up in Detroit.
Really?
Yeah, with a, like a live stream they can stream, you know, play the game, Twitch room and shit like that. I got a producer room. Studio room, a dance room, I got a podcast room, I got a anything you could do, a video shoot room, you know.
So how does this work? You get a building?
I had bought a building back in August.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm just like, they just got done drywall and I'm looking at all the floor plan. I got the 3D model and shit like that. Like, this is where I want to take it. So once I get all that done, I can see if I want to take it to a full community center or use it as like a studio. You know, a community center, I don't know how I got to go about that for the license and shit. Like, I'm still learning, so it's kind of hard for me to like jump straight into a kids community center. But I do want to open the doors for young creators to be able to come in there, come to the studio, you know, do beats, shoot videos, stream.
Because there must be a crazy amount of like young people trying to make it in an entertainment, just because you've seen so many people make it over the last few years out of Detroit.
And that's why I'm doing that shit, because it's just so many of them, dog. And they just be out here and there's so much violence and shit going on in the community to where like they forced to go through that shit. It ain't even by choice. Like, they got to go through it just to get home and make it, you know, day to day. So when I open up this community center, I'm not going to open it. I might do like a membership. I'm not just going to open it to the public, because I still want somebody to feel like they coming here for a reason. Like, it ain't just like for free. And you come fuck my shit up. I just, you know, put this out here for people to come and do. But I really want them to like get a tutor, you know, like have a tutor up there when they get out of school, not just run there and go hop on the Xbox or the PlayStation or, hold on, you get an hour of tutoring, y'all do y'all homework, get this shit together in school, you know, go outside, play some basketball, do something, like, just not, I ain't just trying to make this shit to where it's like, they focus on one thing. I want them to be able to go and create in each room, like, every room, like, you know how that shit go.
Definitely. That's one thing I want in my crib. I want to have enough rooms in my crib that I could have one room that's like an art room for my kid, so she could paint on the walls, she could do whatever the fuck, like, where we could really get creative in there.
I'm telling you, bro.
Because sometimes I feel a little constrained when we're doing art projects, and I got to make sure I don't get paint on the table and all this shit, and I'm like,
really?
I got to get an environment going here where I could be less worried about her planting her fucking paint covered hand onto the chair or whatever, you know?
It's home, man.
It's home. So how did how old's your kid now?
He about to be 7 in March.
Okay. And how has that changed how you view the game and what you're doing with your time out here?
Right now I'm learning about all financial freedom so I can just leave a lot behind. You know, like not even leave it, just build it. So when he get old enough to be able to work, like at the community center, the shit I'm opening up, I got him a store being built in there. So I put candy in there, hot pretzels and shit like that, slushes, just to, for him to learn money management and learn how to communicate with people and just not be somebody who just think money growing trees and, and just fuck be some type of like hoodlum about this shit.
Right.
He got to be able to know how to be like a young man, dog.
Definitely. Do you feel like you're in search of a TikTok hit? Or is that not? That's not something you think of?
Hell no. I feel like that type of shit just come. Like, it come.
Because to me, Peezy's one of the greatest flows I ever heard. You know, one of my favorite rappers. And then for that thing from the 2 million up thing to just become this viral ass TikTok, and I'm just seeing all these random hot chicks on TikTok doing it, and my girl's doing it. She don't even know that this is a rapper that I interviewed or that I listened to, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know. But a lot of people do know. I think they do know.
Yeah, I think she figured it out at one point. Like, oh, you know this guy.
Yeah, they know, nah.
Yeah.
His voice became a real, like, thing.
Because, you know, I'm always just looking through YouTube and, like, you know, I'm just noticing, like, oh, this random Peezy video has like 12 million views and it came out like a month ago. And I'm thinking like,
Peezy doing numbers, bro.
I'm like, Peezy don't normally do 12 million views in a month. Like, what is this song? And I click on it and I watch it. I'm like, well, that was a hard song. But I'm still wondering, like, that seems like a lot. And then I realized it was a TikTok hit. And I'm like, ah, okay.
That
there you go.
Got Kim K and them doing that shit.
That'll take your shit to a whole different level, yeah.
No, I know. Shit take you right out of it.
What about Peezy dating a Kardashian? I could see that.
Never. Can't take my nigga through the black hole, man.
Yeah, because he might not come out.
He coming out.
No, they're going to consume him as they've done to many other brothers who've entered up into that mansion.
Man, right.
You know, he might not make it out the other side. He might finally find a test that he can't handle in life, you know? Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner is his kryptonite, perhaps.
Nope.
You're denying
ain't
it.
Right.
Nope, can't happen. All right, so... What else do we need to talk about in terms of the life of GT? I'm going to be real. I just listened to the music to get ready for this. I didn't do any of the interviews because sometimes I feel like watching the interviews kind of makes me not want to do the interview as much. So I just stuck to the music. But, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else we need to know about?
We got a lot of new shit coming out, man. Everything new. They just got to stay tuned.
Definitely.
That's it.
And tuned in. I wanted to ask this, too. How do you, like... What would you say the breakdown is financially in terms of, like, what's bringing in money for you? Is it, like, shows? Is the streaming? Like, what? The features is the thing that really does it.
Yeah. Features, for real, for me. I'm about to give me somebody who booking shows and shit for me.
Uh-huh.
Because it's about that time. Like, get this shit in order and get some shows and have some real intimate shows, like, for my real supporters and day one fans and shit like that.
That'd be dope. Yeah, like the features though, does that ever get complicated? It's just like basically involves making songs with all kinds of random ass people.
But I just dropped my last project on the Empire, so I've just been grinding it out, you know.
Definitely.
Just grinding, bro.
You could ever see yourself signing to a major, or you don't think it's for you?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I don't feel like it's nothing wrong, man, if you had the right contract though.
Yeah.
It's just about the contract. Like, people make it with it. They want to make it. I don't believe in none of that media stupid shit, how they try to make people look like they the worst people in the world, because that's what the media is for.
Right.
So, yeah, if some people talking the right partnership, you know, like, I'm never going to, not right now. I won't say never, but I'm never signing my masters up right now.
Yeah, but I feel like when you mentioned, like, Currency as an example, though, that's the kind of career that a lot of people from that Detroit scene realistically should be or are trying to build, you know, is, like, just create this, like, coolness about yourself. And, like, yeah, the music matters, but your overall brand is kind of the real priority the thing that you can make money off in the long term.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
So if you're the fashion dude, give me some fashion don'ts right now. What's played out?
Amiri's right now, man.
Mm.
To me, I just don't like them Amiri's no more. It's over for that.
You over the skinny jeans in general?
I've been really wearing cozy shit for real, man. I don't really want to wear shit but jogging pants and shit every day, man. And cool shoes, man. I'm so tired of getting dressed at them, bro.
Anything even slightly uncomfortable, I feel like it's just not worth it at this point in my life.
Don't be worth it, dog, especially. Unless you dressing up wearing a suit and yeah. tie and shit. That's always worth it.
People who are heroes are people who wear suits every day.
You wear a suit every day?
I could not imagine it. It just seems like torture.
Yeah, I think something's going on in this bitch if you wear a suit every day. For like,
I used to want to do that really bad.
That'd fuck their head up if you came here. Even if you came here for a week straight in the suits, they'd be fucked up. They'd be like, something going on.
But the thing is, I don't think it would buy me any kind of credibility in rap, but I think that it would make people think way different about me.
You talking about buy me some credibility in the rap?
No,
man.
But okay. There are like philosophers or like speakers, podcasters, et cetera, who they always wear a suit every single time that they go on a podcast or a show or whatever. And when I think about it, I do view them way differently as a result. Because I've never seen them wear a hoodie. But for me, I mean, I'm wearing a hoodie. Like, I'm just, it's too comfortable. It's a perfect item of clothing.
For real.
It's cold out here.
Nah, you're wearing the right shit.
Imagine just wearing a suit and you're just standing out in the cold. Like, what the fuck is this?
I feel like I was getting interrogated by a nigga. If he had a suit on right now, I'd be like, it wouldn't be an interview. I wouldn't even be comfortable as I am with you. I feel like he just, like, got a notepad. And he keep flipping that bitch over and...
That's why I don't like having a notepad. Because I would like to have a notepad and just be writing in it, but I feel like you would think that I was like...
That's so fucking therapy. Like, that's some therapy shit, dog.
Yeah.
That's lame, bro. The notepad, that's 2000. And motherfucking 14, for real.
But I would like to have it so I could, like, write down questions as they come to my mind instead of having to try to say them before I forget them.
Better off doing that shit on your phone.
Yeah, but that looks weird, too, because it looks like I'm texting somebody.
It's better than writing.
Yeah.
And writing shit look like the police.
Even just holding a pencil is federal.
Just, I swear to God, holding a notepad and a pencil while you on a podcast, yeah. That's some real, yeah, that's it.
But then the choice would be between like a digital thing, like a digital pen and like an iPad, or just having like a yellow notepad and like a pencil. The pencil makes noise. That feels like a big deal. This is important. They need to hear about this. So you got anything new dropping that we need to know about, or what's the game plan?
By March, I'm trying to drop a new project. I might do it one more on the Empire right quick.
Mm-hmm.
And just smash the gas on like marketing and shit. Try to figure out a new way out the box to market. Not make myself look like foolish, but make an impact. With it, like something nobody ever did before.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, marketing's got to be the tricky part. Making the music's fun, but then getting people to listen to it's the tricky part, huh?
The music is never the hard part, man. We aiming for like 1,500, 2,000 songs. Trying to aim for a lot of songs, but not
2,000
like
songs?
2,000 songs.
But we cut down to how many songs?
Cut down to like a real, like 750 songs, like, and realistically. Like, that's going to go somewhere.
Wait, you're going to put out 750 songs?
Over time. Not,
over time.
No, not
I'm like this is the very long project.
Hell no. Nah.
Like, hell most people are not going to listen to this whole
hell
thing.
Hell no, I'm talking about in a hard drive, in the catalog. Like, we're trying to do this shit for real. Like, trying to set this up to where we got longevity for real.
Okay.
Like, niggas really working overtime for this shit.
Right. Yeah, there was a moment there where I thought you were saying you were going to put a 750-song project.
I'd be done. That's how you know I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, that would be
they
weird.
They gave it all up. They know I'm done.
I was the biggest Young Thug fan in the world, and then in like 2012, I like 100 songs of his leaked at the same time, and I went in to listen to it, and a lot of them weren't mastered, and it just was a terrible listening experience. And I never really went out of my way to listen to leaks since then.
Man, I hate people who leak people's music, dog. Like, what do you get out of that, dog? Do they get a check for that shit?
I think. I've heard that, like, the Juice WRLD unreleased songs leak because the fans come together to, like, raise money to buy them from hackers or some shit.
That's so fucking gay, man.
Right? To a dead dude, too. Just let him.
That's so fucking weak, bro, because people really put a lot of... You know what rappers do the most? They hold that song till they think it's the right moment for the song to come out. Mm. I don't really know how to feel as a... I need, like, the fans to be able to tell me that shit, like... Tell me when should the music come out.
Mm.
I want to make a way to the fans to tell people instead of us holding it, then it get leaked. Fuck all that, man. But they be killing the thrill, man.
I'm going to be real, though. In the case of the Juice WRLD thing, though, I do understand it because the fans have heard these songs in bad quality on, like, Instagram Live and shit like that. And then they know that the label, like, is the label ever going to put these songs out? I mean, they might put out 10, 20 of them here and there for a project, but they're not going to put out all of them.
Never.
And so, if it's never gonna come out, and he's not even with us anymore, is it really that bad for the fans to leak it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad, man.
It still is bad because the money could go to the family. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. It's his legacy, man. You want that shit? That's why I hate the hackers for that shit.
I still have a kind of a hard time holding it against the fans who just want to hear it that bad, but you know. All right. Where should they follow you?
Call me GT, man. On Instagram. I don't know how the fuck I lost my Twitter, man. I don't know about the other shit. Like, my YouTube channel is the same thing. Call me GT. And that's it. Anything you need to know is in my bio.
Let's go. I'm
trying to figure out other ways to, like, get this shit out here, Adam. I know you know some new ways to market this shit.
TikTok. I mean, if Peezy's going to teach us anything from that song, it's just make the first bar of the song like a really catchy, memorable bar that just fits perfectly with the beat and is very relatable to random girls. I'm sure he didn't do it on purpose, but it worked.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he a hit maker.
For sure. All right, GT.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, dog. Much love. Ow! GT, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We out here wearing expensive coats and whatnot. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.
Baby gear, man.
Let's go.